As Jesus went into Jerusalem, people crowded around, and there was Jesus in the midst of them. And to me, so often it's we make way for Jesus to get into that place where he comes into Jerusalem. But here, the very way, the way to God, Jesus was coming down that road to Jerusalem, riding on that donkey. And he was the way. And so, although he was separate at that time from them because he was on that donkey, he was offering to all humanity closeness to God. He wanted to be close to people. He wanted people to be close to God, not just then on that day that he came into Jerusalem, but throughout eternity. So Jesus was making the way into Jerusalem, knowing full well he was going to go to his death on the cross and die to give us forgiveness, to give us salvation. He was to give up his life. But on this particular Sunday, on this particular time, this was a day of triumph for Jesus. Because he knew the enemy would be defeated. He knew that death would be defeated. He knew that hate would be defeated. He knew that fear and despair would be defeated because of what he was about to go do, to make a sacrifice. And he knew he was fulfilling God's calling upon his life to be the way that people could find eternal life through him. So I'm going to read from the book of John this morning and kind of bounce around the Bible a little bit, because there's prophecies here that showed what Jesus was going to do on this particular Sunday, this Palm Sunday, as well as in the future. So in John 12, 6 days before the Passover ceremonies began, Jesus arrived in Bethany. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus sat at the table with him. Remember, Lazarus had been raised from the dead. So this is where the story began earlier last week. And so there was Jesus meeting with those people that he had given new life to. He was meeting with them, having a dinner with them, and celebrating with them the fact that he is, in fact, the resurrection and the life. And Lazarus firsthand and Martha and Mary firsthand knew who Jesus was. Down to verse 12, it says, the next day, the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept through the city. A huge crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down the road to meet him. So they had heard, because they knew about the raising of Lazarus, they had heard all of the miraculous things that Jesus had done, and so they heard he was in Jerusalem. And so they were there to go celebrate Jesus and to worship him. They shouted, "Praise God! Bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hail to the King of Israel!" Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, fulfilling the prophecy that said, "Don't be afraid, people of Israel. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." So that goes back to Zechariah 9. I want to read that for you so you know where the Old Testament predicted what Jesus would do. Zechariah 9:9 says this, "Rejoice greatly, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, even a donkey's colt." So this was predicted hundreds of years before Jesus, that Jesus would come into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, and he would be humble, he would be gentle. And so there is a couple of things of symbolism here that we have on this day. We have the donkey, first of all. I'll go into a little bit of understanding with that symbolically. A donkey was always used for times of peace. It was a time when any time someone brought peace after a war, they would ride in on a donkey, as opposed to a war horse. They weren't going into battle. They rode in on a donkey. Solomon, when he became king, he was going to be the king of Israel after his father David. When he was brought into his coronation and he was accepted to the people because that's who God had chosen to be king of Israel, he was a man of peace, Solomon was. His father had been a man of war. And yet, this son, Solomon, is a son of peace. And so he rode in on a donkey and when he was honored as the king. When Abraham and Isaac went to the mountain, when Isaac was supposed to be given up in sacrifice, Abraham took a donkey and rode the donkey, put his son on it, and they went to go to that place. Yet God spared Isaac's son and gave a ram instead. So the symbolism of this donkey is clear. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Why? He's a man of peace. He did not come to bring war. He came to bring peace. He came to put away the weapons of war. The Romans, even though they were oppressing the Israelites, even though people are continuing to be oppressed, Jesus came as God's Savior to come and take away oppression. But not to do it through war, not to do it through bloodshed of all the people, but through his own blood. The donkey came in with Jesus on it. A donkey was a symbol also for common people, poor people. They weren't rich enough to have horses. And so Jesus came as the man of the people. He wasn't a king above people, he was one of the people. He didn't lord himself over them, although he was the King of Kings. He came in riding on a donkey, a humble servant, ready to give his life for all humanity. So he rides in on that donkey as is fulfilled in Zechariah. God said he was sent a savior to the world, a redeemer. It's throughout the Old Testament scripture. You can see it over and over again to come and save his people. And he would come in peace, and he would come and save people, not in the way that many people thought we could be saved. He decided to come and save us through miracles, through healing us, and through offering us his life in exchange for ours. So Jesus rode in on a donkey, a man of peace. And a donkey is short. So when you think about it, although he could have been at a higher stature on a stature on a high horse above people to be worshipped, there he was at eye level with many of the people on that donkey. Always looking at the people, looking at them in their eyes, seeing their pain, seeing their sorrow, seeing their hurt, seeing their needs. He had compassion and pity upon them. And he was looking people in the eye, realizing how much they also needed forgiveness. And they needed a savior. They needed someone to take them away from those chains that bound them, take them out of the prisons of their own mind, take them away from fear and doubt and worry and all the things of the world, and to take them away from all that. So there he comes, the servant, on a donkey, eye level with people, understanding their needs, but coming to give his life for them. And then the palms, the people grabbed the palms. I'm sure they had heard about Lazarus' resurrection, and they came to praise this Jesus. They came knowing that, wow, something awesome and miraculous had happened. They also thought he would be their new king. They remember, there was also political problems then. They wanted to be set free of the world and set free of oppression and set free of all the things that the Romans were doing to them and harming them. So they thought he also was a political leader. And they came to worship him for two different reasons. But Jesus only came really for one. He wasn't a political leader. He came as the king that would be someone in service to others. He wasn't like all the others of the world. He wasn't there to just receive. He was there to give. That's really the best political leaders that could ever be. And so the people grabbed palms and they started waving them. And in one of the translations, it says, Hosanna, which means save now. Save now. When do we need to be saved? Now. When do we always need to be saved? Now. All of our nows. No matter what we're going through throughout our life, we praise God and we ask God and we say to God, save us now from whatever we're going through. And that's Hosanna. That's what they yelled out, knowing that he could, believing that he would. And so they took some, palms. And palms in the throughout scriptures, and you'll see them throughout scripture where palm trees are, and they're always strong and they're vibrant. And they were the symbol of goodness, well-being. They were grandeur, steadfastness, victory, joy, and triumph. On the temple that Solomon built, he had pictures or had carvings of palms there. And so that would be a reminder of God's goodness. As they walked into the temple, they would be reminded. A lot of the coins during biblical times had a palm on the back of them. And so you would always be reminded of God's goodness. And you would use that money, hopefully, for goodness to others. Whenever there was someone in victory during the Grecian Games, or when people returned back from war or came back and they conquered something, palms, people would wave palms. It was always a sign of victory and a sign that we won. We are triumphant. And so Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, he knew this was a triumphant entry. He knew going in there that he would triumph over even death. He had already done it with Lazarus and many others. He's continuing to do it today. All of us triumph over everything and anything throughout our lives, especially death. Jesus is the final victor over that. He conquered the enemy, Satan, we know. The enemy who lies to us, who tries to cause us to fear and be afraid, to wonder and doubt about where we are on this earth and where we're going. Jesus triumphed all that because Satan, the liar, tried to stop Jesus from being who he was and is. The Pharisees thought they could stop him. In fact, during the scriptures, they tried to tell the disciples to stop shouting, Hosanna. You can't stop us from praising God. No one can be stopped because God will give us victory over everything and anything throughout our lives. And in the book of Revelation, going into the future, in the book of Revelation, chapter 9, I take it back. Chapter 8. I'm sorry. Chapter 7. I'm getting there. So sorry. Got in the spirit there for just a second. Revelation 7, verse 9. After I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language. Now, this is a vision that John sees of the future Jerusalem, of the future heaven, of the future time when Christ comes again. So every nation, tribe, people, language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. They were clothed in white and held palm branches in their hands. And they were shouting with a mighty shout, salvation comes from our God on the throne and from the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living beings, and they fell face down before the throne and worshiped God. And they said, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to our God forever and ever. Amen. So we get a picture of a glimpse of when Christ comes again and what we're going to all see. All people from every language, every tribe, every nation, all the people gathered together in front of the throne of Jesus Christ, who gave his life for all humanity to have salvation and to be one with God. One great big worship service. We'll all be connected there for sure. We won't have to be 6 feet apart then. We'll be all close together, standing before the throne, worshiping Jesus again, just like the day that he was worshiped as he went through the city in Jerusalem, waving palms, waving palms. And maybe it might be our palms, these palms, our hands. Or they could be these palms physically because God's goodness is there. So we see in Scripture this morning a few places where we know and believe and trust that this is a day of celebration. This is a day where we really get an understanding of who Jesus was and is to come. a humble servant, a loving God, someone who's on our level, someone who understands us completely, and someone who loved us so unconditionally and so magnificently and so sacrificially, he gave up his life so we could have ours and have eternal life. It's a glorious day. It's a glorious time. And throughout Jesus' ministry, he continued to save people. And he continues to save people even today through the power of the Holy Spirit. He saves us all from worry and fear. He saves us from illness and disease and heartache and heartbreak. He sets us free from the demons and the things within us sometimes that hold us back and hold us down. He sets us free from those things in our lives that get us in the way of not seeing Jesus. I can just imagine that crowd, you know, when you think about Zacchaeus, he was a short man. If Jesus were traveling by in that big crowd, I would have been one of those short people trying to get a glimpse of where he is kind of thing, waving my palms at him. But I know this about Jesus. He never misses a person. We might not be able to see him clearly through the midst of our tears, through the times of trouble, through the times of worry, through the times of what we're going through even right now with this pandemic, through sorrow and through grief, through loss, through separation. We might not be able to see Jesus through those tears, but Jesus sees us. He sees us very, very clearly. And he sends down peace because he is a man of peace. So when you have a moment when your mind and things take over, or other things within your past come and cloud your vision of who Christ is, raise your palms, look up to God, although look straight on, that's because he's at eye level with you, and he will set you free. He'll break you free from all of those things that hold you back and hold you down. He'll give you the peace that passes all understanding. And if you just close your eyes and focus in on him, everything else falls away. And so, one last psalm I want to read to you before we close today. Psalm 146 says this. Don't put your confidence in powerful people. There is no help for you there. When their breathing stops, they return to the earth, and in a moment, all their plans come to an end. But happy are those who have the God of Israel as their helper. That's who we have, God, our helper, whose hope is in their Lord. He is the one who made heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. He is the one who keeps every promise forever, and he has promised us eternity, who gives justice to the oppressed and food to the hungry. The Lord frees the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts the burdens of those bent beneath their loads. The Lord loves righteousness. The Lord protects the foreigners among us. He cares for the orphans and widows, but he frustrates the plans of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever, O Jerusalem. Your God is king in every generation. Praise the Lord. So some of us, as you can see through these scriptures, again in the book of Psalms, it's a prediction of Jesus because he came and he freed the oppressors. He came and set people free. He came and let prisoners out of the darkness. He came and gave light to the blind. He came and gave eternal life to everyone. He gave freedom to the people that were being oppressed. He fed the hungry, cared for the sick. He continues to do that today. And how he does that is through people that are believers in Jesus Christ who know who our God is. And we're going to be like Jesus and continue to do his work. Because we know and believe, all of us, and I know for myself personally, Jesus has set me free from so many things that I want to set other people free as well. I know what it feels like to be set free, especially from shame and guilt, especially from oppression and depression. We've all had times when we're hungry, and not just in a physical way, spiritually speaking. But our King who came from heaven to earth on a donkey, came through Jerusalem and comes through our life so humble, so quietly, so peacefully, to continue to save us and set us free. So if you're chained up or bound up in any way, shape, or form, and you feel as though you're imprisoned because maybe you have to stay home right now, your hands are free. You can always still worship God. You can always still wave at us on Facebook. You can always wave as you come through the church and we see you in your car. You can wave at your neighbors. You can wave at God and say, hey, I'm over here. But I think you already should know God sees you. God cares about you. And God wants to continue to be your Savior, the one who ransomed you, set you free, and the one who continues to do so even today. What a glorious day. What a day of triumph that today is. And there'll be a future day when we'll have another day of triumph. We will triumph over everything because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's praise God. Let's come and sing. We have one last song, so while you're listening to the song, perhaps you can reach out to God. I pray that you are waving at Jesus if you need help from God. But more than that, how about you worship God too, thanking him? All of us can testify. All of us can testify, just like Lazarus could. I hope and pray and believe that Lazarus was there at that Palm Sunday as well. As Jesus rode in victorious, I'm sure Lazarus could have been the one holding on to that donkey saying and praising God with his palms saying, hey, I'm somebody Jesus saved. Let me testify. I pray that you'll be that one as well this day. In Jesus' name.